Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Always a pleasure to have you with us today. So, of course, I have to start with my motivational quote, which is by Carl Sandburg, and he says, "Nothing happens unless first we dream." One of our favorite topics we talk about on Enlightenment of Change. So do you ever have a dream that seems so real that you wake up from it either feeling super happy or scared out of your mind? Whether it's a nightmare or a reunion with a lost love, dreams can reflect something that's going on in our subconscious. What if you could use this intel from your dreams and read them as an important message that you actually need to use during your real life while you're awake? Well, today my guest is Dr. David Lowe, and he and I are going to discuss dreams and how they may help you navigate to live the life that you've only dreamed about. Did you get it? David is a former religious professor and counselor who today does dream work, substance abuse counseling, meditation instruction, and speaks on topics in popular spirituality and religion. After his primary initiation 35 years ago, he began receiving dream guidance, which has influenced major decisions in his own personal life. Now, an epiphany happened in 2014 that led him to write his first book, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, an informed textbook for discerning seekers. His greatest passion are dream work and helping people tune into more profound dimensions of their own spirituality. So welcome. Thank you, David. Thank you for coming back. I want to say, is this our fifth time that we've recorded shows?
I would say sixth or seventh.
Yeah, could be. And it's funny, David and I, we talk about dreams and spirituality and some just really cool topics. And David, every time we do a show, people respond just, "Oh, that was one of my favorite shows about dreams," because it's something we all do, but it's not something we all know to use as a tool to navigate the change that we're doing in our life. So it's just really interesting to have an expert like you about dream and dream work and all that stuff. So first question. Yeah, we always have a good time too. That's true. So now, first of all, everybody listening, I highly recommend going back. All of David and my show, you'll see there's dreams in the title. I highly recommend listening. We've talked about different types of dreams and what they mean. We're not going to do that again. I don't want to be repetitive. David and I want to keep pushing the envelope from an education standpoint. So my first question, David, for you, we're shifting a little bit from that definition position, is any guidelines as to when to really start to pay attention to your dreams?
I would say overall, if a dream is repetitive, and especially if it's unpleasant in some way, that's the time in particular to really start paying attention. A message is trying to get through, and especially if you're at a point in your life where your living circumstances are kind of tumultuous and always changing, you're going through a lot of turmoil, and you're having dreams, that's the time to pay attention big time. I think we should pay attention all the time, but that in particular would be the time to really start nailing that. And I mean nightmares, big nightmares in general, but especially if it's repetitive and unpleasant and you're going through stuff, those would be, you've got to start paying attention then. No question about it.
So, and I know you and I have talked about, you have to start writing things down, because by the time the morning comes, you're forgetting some of those details. So just talk about the importance of, so you wake up from this horrifying nightmare. It's the second time you've had it. What do you recommend? So how do I remember and look at the significance of that dream?
Well, the reality for most of us, it can take a half hour, 40 minutes to write down a really complex, long dream. Just do bullet points. It's just literally 2 or 3 minutes occupied by doing bullet points, major images, major things that were said. It's just some quick bullet points. That will usually bring the whole thing back later. But yes, you need to write stuff down on a regular basis, and keep that, what I call keep that dialogue going with the source, with God, however you want to think of the source of where we're all going. Keep a dialogue going with your inner self, and you do that by writing stuff down on a regular basis. And that, even if it's only 5 minutes, bullet points, You know, I mean, God appreciates the effort. God, self, lore, source, whatever you want to call it, appreciates the effort that we all make and, within the confines of our situation.
And the funny thing is, it's like a muscle memory, right? So as you start to write things down, those dreams become, because I know a lot of people say, well, I don't even remember my dreams. But if you start getting to the habit when you do have a dream and you write down, like you said, quick bullet points, 2 minutes, all of a sudden your muscle memory, as you have dreams, you'll start remembering them because you're getting into that habit of writing them down, I would think, right?
And your dialogue begins to take place between you and the source.
Yeah.
And that will cause things to shift. The dreams will gradually start getting clearer.
Yeah.
And you'll begin to get more of a shift. You know, the important thing is, people like me can help. Goodness only knows. I do dream work. But part of our personality does understand them. And so at a deeper level, we are fathoming it, but we do have to write things down. We do have to take time to think about them as well as writing them down. And so it's important to devote regular contemplative time to thinking about what your dreams have been. And it will pay off. And don't get me wrong, I can help a lot of folks. You won't go through a lot of stuff that you'll have to go through later if you can talk to folks like me. But just by writing things down, thinking about it on a regular basis, even if only 5-10 minutes a day, a big difference can start to take place overall in your life, guaranteed.
Yeah, and you and I've talked about this before. It's like the iceberg, right? We really, our life is driven by that little 10% peak, right, that peaks out of the water of the iceberg. That 90% is all underwater, and that's where our subconscious is. So these dreams really give us some tremendous insight as to what's going on, or the information to help us navigate whatever that next step is that we're trying to figure out, you know, at whatever the crossroad is in our life. The other thing you've said on previous shows, which we should mention here too, as you're writing them down, write down the memories. But you've often said, and even if you can't remember the imagery or exactly what happened, write down the feeling that you have when you wake up, right? Why is the feeling enough sometimes?
Well, the feeling is enough because the dreams are trying to get us in touch with, I mean, the real experience of source enlightenment means experiencing your true nature all the time. We've all erected concepts and a whole architecture's worth of concepts and ideas between us and that original source. Dreams, the most important thing about a dream is the feeling connected with it. And if that's too indistinct, then of course you need to get into the intellectual material which it features. But always the feeling is important, and it will take you to that's the first clue as to what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because our feelings don't lie. You know, that's probably at the core. You don't have to. We all know what sadness feels like. We all know what terror feels like. The feeling is easy to transcribe, even if it's just one word. Now, what about, and I know you hear this all the time, what about people who say, I don't dream at all? What do you tell them to help them start remembering? Because some people are listening going, David, I don't remember anything of my dreams. How could I even start a journal or start writing to reminisce about these dreams?
Yeah. You know, there are so many possible causes of that. First thing I would say, health issues, sleep problems. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you not drinking too much caffeine before going to bed? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is shift work? Is there some really heavy duty shift work at 3 o'clock in the morning? Is that disturbing things? Restless leg syndrome, things like that. That's a whole category of things which could be causing that. Otherwise, it's interest. It's all about interest, conscious interest in your spirituality and wanting to get in touch with your deeper self. If you really have an interest, if you go get a book and read it about dreams. That, I mean, you do something with your body, go get a book, read it. Go get a notebook, put it next to your bed. Get a pen, put it there next to your notebook. Affirm to yourself out loud, I will remember my dreams. Before going down, before lying, and then imagine yourself writing them down when they come. Imagine yourself writing them down. And if you express that kind of interest and actually express it in some sort of informal ritual with your being before bedtime, then they will come, then they will begin speaking up in a way that you can remember. Everyone dreams every night, but nobody knows why we all don't remember more dreams than we do, even those of us who remember a lot of them. But we can all start remembering more with interest, but we need to take explicit interest in them. That's important.
Yeah, and you said such an ritual. Everybody listening, I'm telling you, if I said to you, what's your night routine? They would be like, I do this, I empty the dishwasher, I throw it in a batch of laundry, I go brush my teeth, I wash my face. Everybody has a ritual at night. Everybody has a ritual in the morning. So I like that idea of making this part of your evening ritual. And another thing, it was funny. I took an online class, Learning Strategy, with Paul Sheely. A shout out to him. Great program. But it's all about meditation and stuff and getting in touch with your subconscious and messaging and all of that. And he says to help enhance at night before you go to bed, just take a minute and reflect on what really went well during the day. Like, what made you real happy? And think about that. Then think about one thing you're excited about tomorrow. And then the next thing he says is take a minute to think about, what do I want to dream about tonight? So I would think, based on our conversation, David, if I am at a crossroad and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I should do this, I don't know if I should do that, that dream would be, you know what, give me some insight in a dream. What is the best course of action for me? And the subconscious, because we know, right? Don't we all have the answers in us, David? And the dreams help us get it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot imagine a better routine than what you just suggested. And be aware also that, you know, grace and guidance and the will of God and whatever you want to call it and so forth, that's going to come on its own time. You know, we can ask for what we like the saying goes, we ask for what we want and we get what we need. Right. So it's not like our prayers are always going to be answered.
That's right.
But be tolerant, be patient, have some humility and submit before whatever this almighty great fate and task is that we all have for each of us. Bear that in mind when you go to sleep and have patience and love and humility and fortitude and willingness to sacrifice, and those dreams will start speaking up. But you need to be interested. That's the main thing, is to take an interest.
Yeah. And it's funny because every time we post a show, the result is, oh my God, I learned so much. Oh my God, I'm dreaming more. I get the biggest kick because then I run into people, you know, because a lot of people at my corporate clients, like I run into them in the hallways and stuff. Oh, I love that dream show. And I giggle because I think it's something that we all have in common. Every human walking this planet, right? We all have it in common. So that when I get that charge, I get real excited because it means that people are willing to change and they're excited when they have a potential tool, you know, to help them with that change. Now, do you have some regular or general guidelines for interpretation, which most dream specialists kind of agree on? Because I know there's a lot of books that have different perspectives, but are there some common core things that the listeners could relate to?
Some common core things are some major. So there's a guy named Jeremy Taylor. He's a great dream worker out in California. He passed away recently, last five years ago or something. Mm. He took the writings of Carl Jung and all these other more famous people, Jung, Fritz Perls, Monty Ullman, people like that, and synthesized them into a series of basic principles, which are pretty much pervade the field. And one of them is, you know, all dreams come to the service of health and wholeness. That's a controversial idea, but there are different kinds of dreams. But as far as REM dreams go, rapid eye movement dreams, which are most dreams, they all come in the service of health and wholeness. Pretty much all of us think. Only the dreamer can know what a dream means, because only that person has his or her particular set of memories, notions, sentiments, associations. The person may be way off at first, but once they tune into the symbolic nature and how other people can contribute to their understanding, only they can really know what the dream is trying to tell them. No dream comes to tell you what you already know is another basic idea. There's no such a thing as a dream with only one meaning, because people put different amounts of effort into discerning what that meaning is, you know. And a feeling in the body that you're actually, it's more a dream. They have an intellectual message. They have a felt experiential message, as it were. You know you're on the right track intellectually when you begin to feel it in your body, what you're talking about. Okay. But the deeper realms of interpretation, you know, you don't need to interpret. With the right kind of therapeutic situation, you can get at the feeling element of a dream directly. It's more difficult and expensive and therapeutic, but you can do it with good training and a good person and so forth. But you can get on the right track when you know you're on the right track intellectually, when you begin to feel it in your body, what you're talking about. That's when the meaning becomes apparent. So yeah, only the dreamer can know. They're all about health and wholeness, spiritual growth, and each dream is unique.
When you said before the recurring dreams, so my first question is, the recurring dreams, are they exact, or there's the element of whatever the truth is in that dream that is repeated? I want people to understand that, because I'm confused. Is it the same exact dream over and over again?
It is the same set of symbols and notions being thrown up for you to like reconsider and reconsider and reconsider. I'm not sure I understand your question. Can you say what you're asking?
You did. So like, if I dream that I'm being chased and it's by the same monster and it's in my backyard, tomorrow I dream the same monster is chasing me in the same place in my backyard. Is it to that extent of duplication, or is it, yes, I'm being chased by a monster, but you see what I'm saying? Right.
It may take 1,000 versions of the same dream for the person to learn something. Okay. But every time you have that same dream, a deeper part of you figures, maybe this is important. Maybe I should start paying attention, try to understand it. It may take another 500 times of that same dream for you to realize consciously, hey, this is something I should try to understand. Now, people will have people with no interest in dreamer. They'll have a repetitive dream for 2 years and it'll stop. Why? Because the issue in some sense was resolved unconsciously. But what's for sure is that if the person had taken an interest 2 years ago when the dream first started happening, he or she could have gotten through the issue and learned what he needed to learn more quickly and easily than he otherwise did. So that's the thing about dream work. They're always offering us information about issues in our lives. And I can talk about that some more, the way that they work.
Yeah. My next question is that you keep mentioning that spiritual connection.
Right.
So how do dream work for us on that spiritual level? And can you explain, because people hear spirituality and they go, woo, right? Can you explain it in a more mechanical way for everybody?
Okay. First of all, biologically, they're very important for brain maintenance. Cognitively, they're probably important for processing stuff from long-term to short-term to long-term memory, that sort of thing. There are cognitive processing theories about dreaming. Traditional psychological theories which claim that dreams can help us all the way back to birth as far as knowledge goes. Most of us are subscribed to what you might call deeper new age theories, which do include the notion that dreams can get at stuff before birth, pre-birth experiences, past lifetime experiences. What dreams do, they're like a kind of advanced radar, which are always looking for interference patterns out in our space-time future. Okay, and we all have karmas to go through. We're all going to go through difficult stuff. The most diligent person about his dreams and spirituality will go through difficult things and problems in life. But most of the things that are out there that we're going to experience, we have choices about. So dreams are always looking for ways to make things easier for us. They're always offering information about an easier potential pathway to go about something. So by paying attention to them, we make better choices about everything that we do, and we don't have as many problems as soon or as much as we otherwise would have because we didn't pay attention.
We make things difficult for ourselves. Is that what you find with the people that you work with, that we really can't get out of our own way sometimes because of old habits or old patterns?
Yeah, well, I mean, the dilemma is philosophically, you can never say what would have happened otherwise if something didn't happen. You know, you can always say, well, I don't know if things would have been better if I'd never paid attention to my dreams or not. But we know for sure that when people do, they begin to have insights, gratifying insights, self-understandings, which are powerful and meaningful when they experience them in ways that they didn't have before. So a sense of gratitude surfaces, a sense of awe connected with destiny, fate, the nature of reality, our own path through it, our own individual spiritual paths through the reality that we're living in. We're all slightly different, but we all have a certain journey to undertake. And when you start paying attention to your dreams, you become more conscious of life as a spiritual journey. Because that is the main higher reality conduit we all have in common as human beings. They have important biological functions, cognitive, psychological functions, but their spiritual function is the one that we are most interested in. The guidance that we can receive about for going through things in life. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. It's like we have our own personal sonar. You know, I was thinking as you were speaking, the underwater submarine, right? And they're in the murky water, but they have the beep beep, the sonar. They have right. To say what's in front of them. Boats have that where they can see underneath them so that they don't, you know, hit rocks and stuff like that. That in essence is what you're saying. We have our own internal sonar. We just have to tap into it. And I like how you said that. Crap happens to everybody, right, David? It is what it is. That's life. And with whatever the difficulty is, or the tragedy, or whatever it is that the trouble is that's going on in your life, there's a lesson
but
to be learned.
Things will happen. You'll become happier and more fulfilled more quickly than you otherwise would have if you never paid attention to them.
I believe
that's the crucial thing. About dreams.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. It's like this internal sonar that we just need to figure out how to turn on and then how to use it. And it's what you said before. You have to build the habit to do that, because it's not like, you know, tying your shoe when you were a little kid. Your mom showed you didn't do it first time. You kind of had to practice, figure out what didn't work, what did work. I'm assuming it's the same kind of process with this, that routine, that ritual that you spoke about, you know, earlier in the show. Now, how do dreams, okay, so this, all of the things you're talking about helps people hopefully lead learn something about themselves so that they can live a better, easier life. How can we translate to other people in our orbit? Does it affect our perspective? I understand the dream. I understand my dreams. Does that help me with people in my world, in my family, my friends?
Yes, what dreams want to do is unite us all. And what life is all about is becoming more reconciled to our reality, becoming happier and more fulfilled with ourselves, with our environment, and with other people. You know, so dreams help us get in touch with common elements of humanity that we all share. We all know what it's like. Not all of us can be, you know, mothers caring for children. Not all of us can be sages thinking about deeper reality in a monastery. Not all of us can be explorers or discoverers of new things. Not all of us can be military generals fighting important wars in history. But when we dream and we fathom the deeper dimensions of human reality that we all share, we begin automatically to understand all the various roles of life out there and how we are part of that picture. So we all have different roles, we all have different functions in the world, and we all begin to understand all of them much better, because dreams want to get us to understand the whole web of life. That's who we are. We all understand those different parts of ourselves, although other people may be exemplifying them. There's a piece of us in everybody, even Donald Trump, you know. But we do begin to fathom everybody and understand everybody in kind of an automatic underlying way more completely than we did before. We're all after the same things. We're all after the same basic things.
There's something very comforting in that, because I do believe that if I talk to someone in the Middle East, right, another mom in the Middle East, and I said, you know, what do you want? I guarantee she's going to say, I want my family to be safe, secure, and healthy. I want that my kids to grow up productive and loving, right? To be caring humans. Happiness, right? We want happiness for our children and for ourselves. I think no matter how bad a situation, if you ask that question at the core of the human, I think it's just happiness, fulfillment, and joy, and to have that with those we love. So there's something very comforting in that again, that enlightenment of understanding myself helps me understand others on that bigger scale. I don't know. I just found that very comforting with what you said.
This is what we all want, and this is what the dream source, as I like to call it, wants us to get.
Yeah,
you know, and there is a profound core of all reality that we all get closer and closer to, That means embracing other people. That means taking common sense, disciplined measures to accommodate others into our worldview.
Sure.
That means the whole changing the political system, changing the way you think, and all so on and so forth about all the things we could do better. Dreams help us with that.
Yeah. And dreams help us too. And you said before also, as we start to build this habit ritual with our dreams, to have humility, to have love right at the core. I think it's always got to be love. We have to love those around us. We have to love ourselves probably first to be able to discern and love those around us. So before, you also mentioned Carl Jung, and I know he talked about those universal archetypes. How do those, and we have about like 6 minutes. Is that enough time to talk about the universal?
Sure.
Universal? It's just interesting.
Okay, so Jung's very important. He gave us the language and the concepts to understand dreams systematically as they relate to higher reality. It's hard to overestimate his importance. Archetypes, you never have to even hear about archetypes. Forget, you know, archetypes is just it's a very profound concept, but you don't have to learn the word. But if you do dream work, you will begin to fathom them. They're basically deeper patterns of existence that are already present within us, archetypes illustrate the potential of all the life roles that we could possibly have. The archetypes say with motherhood, with fatherhood, with explorers, with discoverers, with healers, with people who heal and nurture others. There are archetypes connected with the feminine nature or masculine nature. All the basic facets of reality are there, existing potentially as archetypes. Archetypes, they're like shells or potentials of all those things before they even come into existence. And you understand them because you can think of them as like categories of higher reality. And you begin to understand higher subconscious, unconscious, higher reality, because they're kind of the same thing. By dreaming, you start to tune into that deeper dimension of where all reality came from and how it's all kind of organized and the different patterns of existence which existed before anything came into being. Dreams get you in touch with that. And so we like to say in ISD, which is the International Association Study of Dreams, the biggest dream organization in the world, you know, the dream worlds are primary. This physical world is secondary. This physical world came from a more permanent place, which that permanent place up there is the potential of all the different physical places which can come out of it in terms of how reality was all created. So yeah, archetypes, you'll get to understand all that stuff if you do dream work without studying Carl Jung at all, although that's nice to do if you want to. That's cool to do. It'd be a lot of fun, very helpful, but you will fathom these things your own way at your own pace. If you take up that pen and start writing stuff down, even if it's just bullet points, you know, 3 times a week or whatever you can do, and think about them. You got to take a moment to fathom and think about them with your journal. Journaling is very important.
Yeah, the whole dream thing I find so fascinating, you know, and we've kind of talked about this, that the dreams, everybody dreams, number one. The messages in our dreams really are the universal language of humans, if I'm understanding you correctly, correct?
Yeah. That's another real opportunity. Do we have a couple minutes to explain
yeah,
that?
Yeah, go ahead, talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, listen. The notion that symbols are universal is very difficult. That a lot of academics have resistance to this idea, and commonsensically, we resist this idea because it seems like we all come from different cultures. How could one thing mean the same thing in all these different cultures if we all come from different languages, different conditioning, and so forth? But they do. Think of it this way. We all take in the same basic world. Before our minds do anything with the information which we take in, that basic raw sense data is the same everywhere. So a 12-year-old illiterate son of a terrorist, a 30-year-old life insurance salesman in New York City, an Eskimo or an illiterate shaman from the Amazon jungle, an academic at Harvard University, they all take in the same basic sense data in general terms. So they all know what clouds are. what sex is, what parents are, what dirt is, what water is, the same basic world with no cultural or linguistic concepts associated with it. Before our minds do anything, we all take in the same basic data. That information is what dreams work with. That's the universal language. So dreams formulate their symbology out of that information. That's the best way to think about it. So they are universal.
It's because at the core, we're all human. We all need water. Right. We all need food, right? We all need love to some extent. We all need sex. So we need the human touch. Humans are humans. Yeah. That doesn't change whether, like you said, you're living in Alaska or, you know, the Antarctica or you're at Harvard. Really doesn't matter. Humans are humans. It's just so fascinating, David. Go ahead.
We do not live isolated. We do not live in isolated cultures. That's not who we are. It seems that way, but we don't. It's a deeper underlying reality.
Yeah, humans need each other, right? We really are. We like tribes. We like tribes. We like being around other peeps.
Right. And dreams take us deeper than tribes to everybody.
Yeah. It's just the whole thing is fascinating. Yeah. Thank you so much again for being on. I want to give your info. So if you too are fascinated by my guest, David, you can either email him at david@worldspirituality.com or go to his website, which is obviously www.davidlow.com. I will put that on the Enlightenment of Change website so you guys will be able to find David easily. And I do highly recommend the book, Universal Spirituality, Philosophy, and Practice. And that gives some insight too, right, as to it's not just about dreams. It's more about that whole potential of enlightenment.
There's only one chapter on dreams. It's a book about basic mystical spirituality, easy to read, cartoons, word balloons, and everything.
Yeah. You don't have to have a PhD to understand the book, which I find helpful. Right. So that's awesome. Thank you again, David, for being on the show. You guys, my partner and I, still offering the free communication style assessment. Just go to wisdomdecoded.com. These tools that we're providing, my guest David just gave you some tremendous insight, the power you have within you. Use it. The communication style assessment on Wisdom Decoded, another free resource. Use it. The more we become in tune with what our strengths are and what our blind spots are, the better we can show up and kind of tweak who we are. I like how David said it, to make our life a little bit easier. We're still going to have trauma, right? We're still going to have roadblocks, but how can we make it easier? So I do hope that you're using these tools that we're providing. Again, I'll post David's information on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website. David, thank you so much again. And thank you all for joining us. I hope you will join us weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change isn't as hard as we think. Use some of these tools, guys, and you'll see for yourself. Figure out how to navigate. It's always great having you, David. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week, and I really, really hope that you use the information my guest David shared today and start to delve into and create those habits of dreams. See where it might take you and how easy or how more blissful your life could be. Enjoy, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.